recorded live high atop the Krakow building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia. It's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd, and special guest co-host, Dr. Sarcophagi. Tonight's topic... Tonight's topic, burnt offerings. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to the old podcast, and welcome, Dr. Sarcophagi.
Hello, how are you? How are you, Rob Floyd? So nice to talk to you. Talking about burnt offerings.
We're going to try to.
Burnt offerings. You know, whenever I think about burnt offerings, I think about how my mama used to ruin a pot roast. And she said, here, baby, here's burnt offerings right here.
And you accepted it gladly.
And gladly accepted that.
And thankful for it.
Thankful for it. Mama was a horrible. Mama Sarcophagi could ruin a ham in no time flat. Lord have mercy. Lord, horrible cook. Horrible cook. Burnt offering. There you go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. We don't need to do nothing else. We are cooking on all. Yes, we're cooking on a high flame tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're cooking with gas. Yes, Lord.
We're going to try.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carry on.
But hey, about that movie called Burnt Offerings.
Yes. What about the movie Burnt Offerings?
I'm not sure it had anything to do with cooking, but I have a feeling we'll get back to that at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of Pepto-Bismol in my family.
Oh, yeah.
That burnt offerings. Yes, yes.
But
yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, if we're going to talk about dinner, and you had these people sitting down to dinner at your table, Oliver Reed, Karen Black, Burgess Meredith, Betty Davis, and wait for it, Dub Taylor.
Yes.
There you go. That's an evening right there.
That is an evening right there, especially with Burgess Meredith. I love myself some Burgess Meredith. I would love to just trade whack with him all night.
As little as he is in the movie, he's pretty creepy.
He's pretty creepy. Yes, he is. Yes, surprisingly so. His menace spreads quite largely throughout the film. I think it does. Yes. But go ahead, ask me questions.
Ask your questions.
Don't let me monopolize the entire conversation. Because you know I can monopolize a conversation.
Of that I have no doubt. and I have no problem with either.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
Yes, I remember watching it on television back in the day when I don't think it was Count Gordeball, but I definitely remember watching. No, I do remember. It was when I was living in Charlottesville, Virginia, I think.
Ah.
Yes, WVIR television, and I was watching Burnt Offerings, and I thought it was a most amazing movie. Fun and creepy. Especially
very creepy.
That part. Yeah, when it gets to that part when Betty Davis and the poor kid is sitting there in that bedroom and they can see that, was it the kid or was it Oliver Reed with her?
Anyway, it was Oliver Reed, yeah.
Yes, it was Oliver Reed in there. Well, yeah, because he's the one that has that terrifying memory of the funeral.
Yeah.
And that, but anyway, it's just awesome. When she's just, Betty Davis looking like hell. Like hell.
And they're both having a freak out contest.
Oh, yeah. It was like, who can outdo the other?
Yeah.
I thought Betty Davis won because her hair was more mussed up.
And her face was she contorted her whole body where Oliver Reed just had to sit there.
Yeah, exactly. That woman, that's why she got an Oscar, because that woman, she channeled Stephen Hawking before Stephen Hawking was Stephen Hawking.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
I can see that. I'll go with that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She was good. But let me tell you, Karen Black, my. Mm. You know, I love myself and Karen Black.
Oh,
I mean, ever since, what was that, Trilogy of Terror thing? Mm-hmm. Lord, been loving myself and Karen Black. She got one out a little bit cross-eyed, but I love her.
You know, I met her one time at a convention at Dragon Con a bunch of years ago, And
yeah, how many did she think she saw of you?
I don't know, but she was very flirty. Very flirty. She was very friendly and very nice.
Was she drunk?
I don't think so. Wait, what are you trying to say?
No,
I think she was just like that with everybody.
Oh, so you're trying to say she's slutty.
I'm not trying to say she's slutty. I'm just saying I've heard stories from other people that met her too and said she was a very free spirit, shall we say.
I like to use the term she's very sexually enthusiastic.
There you go. I like that too.
Yeah.
But those eyes, she look right through you, like look right into you.
I think so. I think, you know, she could get you a menacing look in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then she, I mean, only person I think that could scare me to death like that, was close to that, was Carol Burnett, but she played Nora Desmond.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, she had that look where it's like her face gets all tight, and she could dismantle a truck with her lips.
Yeah, she goes from like pleasant housewife to crazy in a, you know, 0 to 60 right there in a split second.
Now, how did Carrie Black get started? I heard that she was a legit, quote unquote, legitimate film before that point. Wasn't she in something like, what did they say, 3 Easy Pieces?
Oh, yeah.
5 Easy Pieces?
Yeah. She's done a ton of stuff.
I never saw her. All I know is that I love her B-movie stuff.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the last thing I have of hers at home, other than Trilogy of Terror and Burt Offering, is, damn it, it just slipped my mind because I'm old and tired. It's Space Invaders. Space Invaders.
Oh, Invaders from Mars.
Thank you. Invaders from Mars.
Yeah.
Invaders from Mars. Invaders from Mars with her son.
Yeah. Was that her son?
That's her little, that little boy is her son. That's why they have what they call a natural rapport.
Wow. Because she was seeming kind of creepy towards him in that to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing she's supposed to be like a guidance counselor. No, a nurse.
Yeah.
And she was very motherly to him. Very motherly to him.
Overly motherly to him.
I love that movie, Invaders from Mars. I love Louise Fletcher in that. She's awesome.
Oh, she was great. She's always good and creepy and whatever.
Oh, yeah. The last time I saw her, something wasn't creepy is when she was in that movie, The Chief Detective.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Love that movie.
In fact, we did a podcast on that a while back.
Oh, isn't that a... Oh,
that's
I
a
wish
great
you
movie.
Called me. I would have... I love that movie.
Oh,
obviously,
we'll do
Murder
it again.
By Death is my favorite. Oh, please do. And I love myself a Murder by Death. That's another one.
Yeah, that's awesome. That. And do you remember the third one?
There was a third one. Damn it, what was it?
I think it's Murder Can Hurt You. It was for TV, and it was all about the TV detectives.
Oh, I never knew about that.
And it's like John Byner and somebody else play like a version of Starsky and Hutch. And
I love John Byner. I miss him.
Yeah.
Oh, God. John Byner. What was the other? There was a whole bunch of people that I just love. Anybody who was on Love America Style, I love. Charlie Callis.
Yeah.
You remember Charlie Callis when he was Sinestro?
Yeah.
In that...
Legend of the Superheroes.
Yes. I love myself and Charlie
Callis
and John Byner. Oh, my God. You know what I want?
What?
I want to see another episode of Wailing Flowers and Madam.
Oh, my God. Well, I think you're
going to... What about Burt Offering, for God's sake?
It all comes back around one way or the other.
Oh. Officially, I'm sorry.
Speaking of Burt Offerings,
yes, sir.
The guy, the chauffeur driver, the creepy chauffeur driver, when he pushes the casket.
Yeah.
You recognize that guy from 100 other things.
Well, for some reason I thought he was the same guy that was in the hilarious House of Frightenstein.
I don't think so. The guy's name is Anthony James. I found out is the actor's name.
No, I'm thinking of some other guy, obviously. But yeah, Edwin James is very, he was big. He's got that Edwin James almost look about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's tall and yeah, thin. And he was the guy who was on that episode of Buck Rogers that everybody remembers with Frank Gorshin. And and the guy who was in the what's his name? The big guy from Every Which Way Blues, the biker guy. His name will come back to me.
You know, down the line, Dr. Farkava guy, what you just watched a couple of weeks ago? Convoy.
Oh!
Convoy with Chris Christopherson and Alan McGraw.
Oh, man.
Here's my question to you about Alan McGraw. Is she black or what? I could not tell. When did Alan McGraw cross over to black folks? I was saying, is that Sharon Belafonte Harper?
Oh, God, she does look like her, doesn't she? Wow. Maybe they had the same mom or something. I don't know.
I was like, that's not that girl from the Love Story with Ron on there. That's Sharon Belafonte Harper. Here's another name I like to say just to say because of a non sequitur. Lola Falana.
Oh, well, who doesn't like to say that? Lola Falana.
So speaking of bird offers.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. you know, like a lot of haunted house movies, it has a real it's a real slow burn.
It
doesn't start off right and hit you right at the beginning. It's like it slowly builds and.
Those are the kind of movies I like. Movies like that, I'll compare to like movies like The Changeling, where it starts off slow, but when it pays off good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like this one, it's little things just kind of start to happen and that you don't really pay attention to, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. And the way Karen Black slowly becomes the old woman in the attic. You know, every time you see her, she's got a little bit of more gray in her hair. She's, you know, put her hair up like, you know, old ladies would wear it. She's got a little shawl and a little cameo thing around her neck. And as she goes on, she gets more and more.
Right. As a young man watching that movie for the first time, I was like, my goodness, that's cool, watching that, all the shutters and the tile and all that stuff in the house replacing itself.
Yeah, yeah. Burgess Meredith warns them at the beginning, the house takes care of itself.
And then you see that
later on as it goes on.
And I tell you, the performance out of Bette Davis, now, she was so good. I mean, it wasn't like she was slumming at all. My favorite part of that movie when she's talking to Karen Black about, you know, I'm not old. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not old. When she does it, I'm like, damn, give that woman an Oscar right there.
Well, you know, I don't think she was really acting, because from what I was reading is that she didn't get along with Karen Black very well.
I was reading the same thing, and apparently Karen Black was not giving her the respect that was due her. But I'm like, let me tell you something, Karen Black. I can see it in your future, sweetie. You ain't going to be doing too well. Bette Davis is going to be doing some really cool movies. Like, I love Watcher in the Woods.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
You know, Bette Davis is just all that. Now, mind you, she's going to do poorly with her Wicked Stepmother movie.
Well, you know, Karen...
How the hell... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Karen Black had, the last thing I saw her in was, I think, House of a Thousand Corpses.
She was in House of... Oh,
she was
God,
the first one.
Right,
she was Mother Firefly in the first one.
I forgot. You know, that movie is one of those movies where I wanted to actually hate it. Because I was so pissed off of Rob Zombie with his version of Halloween.
Oh, yeah,
I was like, yeah, Rob, you know, you're pissing me off here. This Halloween is sacrosanct. You cannot mess.
Yeah.
You can't mess with that. This is a holy of holies of horror films. What the hell do you think you're doing? You're not supposed, and then it went around and did Halloween 2. I'm like, what's up with that white horse?
That's like Highlander 2. It doesn't even exist.
Oh, Lord, for the planet. I was like, where? They're from the planet Zeiss. Why do they come from a planet that sounds like a Fresca?
Yeah.
I come from a planet Fresca. Why does the place sound like it's a fruit juice?
Well, we'll put that in the what were they thinking file.
Right. And I wanted to like that movie. I wanted to like it, but then all of a sudden it said Zeiss.
Well, you know, I saw an interview with Christopher Lambert, and he said, you know, if they would have called the movie, if they didn't call it Highlander, if they would have called it Invaders from the Planet Zeiss, it probably would have done okay.
Would have appreciated that. I certainly would. And you know what? I used to think that Christopher Lambert could act. And you want to know why he was so good in the movie Highlander? The first one?
Why?
Do you want to know why he was as good as he was?
Why?
Because he wasn't wearing his glasses.
That's right.
He said he was looking at you all intense because he couldn't see you.
Yeah.
I was like, that man's got an intense stare. He's a good actor.
No, he's like Henry Silva. He just can't see worth a damn. Henry Silva was the same way. he had like wore real thick glasses, and that's why he always looks mean in movies, because he can't see you.
Well, I thought that Henry Silva was fantastic when he was in Dick Tracy.
Oh, Henry Silva's good in anything.
No, he was especially good in Dick Tracy.
He was even good in Cannonball Run 2. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
He was in Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run 2. With Abe Vigoda.
I gotta seek that out. I'm gonna talk.
I will watch that any day of the week. You next time you come down, we'll watch it.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What was he playing in Cannonball Run 2? Was he playing a cop?
No, he was a mobster.
Oh, of course.
He was one. It was.
Of course.
It was Abe Vigoda, Henry Silva, two other character actor guys. I can't remember their names. And then Telly Savalas was like the head mob guy.
Telly Savalas. Oh, you're killing me. I didn't look at my cannonball.
Oh, yeah. Two was something else.
I'm going to slum it in that damn movie. Well, the whole movie's about slumming it.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
Even know why I said slumming. That's what, I mean,
are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know, my heart can take it. Who else was in that crappy movie?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, well, see, I'm all right with that. If you said either, I would have accepted the answer Charles Nelson Reilly or George Goebel.
Oh, Goebel.
Anybody from Hollywood Squares could have been in Cannonball Run 2.
Well, most of them were, I think.
Oh, my God. If you had said Wilder Cox, my head would have exploded.
No, but Mr. S makes an appearance. Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
You have that moment?
I believe that I do, yes.
All right. Next time I come down there, we're going to watch that.
We definitely will.
If you got the toe jam, I got the brand. I will be there. That's right. That's right. Dr. Cobb got ready for that experience.
Oh, yes, cheese just dripping off the TV.
God, you're killing me. I love myself some Kojak. Love myself some Charles Apollo. Didn't he have an album out?
At least one. At least one. Look on YouTube. I think there's a video of him like doing a song on a variety show or something.
Oh, you speaking of people that you didn't know could sing.
I didn't say he could sing.
Well, no, exactly.
I said he did an album.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you a performer that you did not know could sing his natural little white ass off. Let me tell you what it is.
Who?
I want you to guess. He used to be on MASH, and he could sing his ass off.
Not Berghoff. Not Berghoff.
Jerry Berghoff.
Really?
Sing his ass off.
Wow.
Radar O'Reilly was on an episode of the Carol Burnett Show.
Wow.
And he started to sing, and my jaw dropped. Look online somewhere. I bet you can find him.
Man.
Was awesome.
Well, I knew he could play the drums.
He played the drums? Oh, you're thinking of Mason Reese.
No. Now, I saw Mason Reese, like, last year in person.
How tall is he?
Not very.
Is it feeling all right?
He is, who he is with, seeing, dating?
Oh, Jesus, he dates?
Well, he's with the...
What are you going to tell me? Let me guess who it is. It's Cheryl T.
No, you won't guess. You won't guess.
Who is that girl that Dudley Moore used to date?
No, not her. Susan Anton. No,
Susan Anton.
No. We're going lower on the tier.
Oh, not Lindsay Wagner.
No, oh God, no.
I love Lindsay Wagner.
Yes.
Let's see, Bridget Nielsen.
No. Lower on the tier. The 70s lower tier. Somebody about his level of fame.
Oh, somebody on his level? Molly Ringwald?
No. She's touring. She's touring theaters singing old standards. She was just here.
Baby, I don't care. Molly Ringwald is going straight to hell, all I care.
Oh.
She's the one that, let me tell you why. She is the reason why John Hughes stopped making those teen pictures.
Oh, no.
I loved all those things, 16 Candles,
yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Breakfast Club, and Fresh Horses, and she's got, what was it, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And Molly Ringwald said to him, oh, you're not in touch with kids anymore, blah, blah, blah. You're too old to be writing about. And I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? Now he's making these crummy Home Alone movies.
Well, okay, we're done with her. Let's get back to Mason Reese.
Mason Reese. So who is he dating?
Okay. Let me set the stage for you. You remember the Brady Bunch variety specials from the 70s?
Oh, Jesus, Lord.
Where they sang and danced wearing sequins and stuff?
Oh, yes, I'm familiar. Yes, I'm familiar. Well, it's time to change
okay.
and rearrange. I remember.
The fake Jan.
It might as well be the fake daughter on Roseanne. I can't remember what that girl looked like. What's the girl's name?
Oh, God, I can't remember her name. I think it's Jerry something. I could be wrong. Jerry something. But she's doing conventions and stuff now, and he's tagging along with her.
How she look, man? How she look?
Yeah, she looks, she looks our age.
And she's with Mason Reese.
Now, apparently, yeah.
So he still
looks like Mason Reese.
Because I think I remember seeing a picture of Mason Reese, and oh, man, I thought that he looked like a garden gnome.
Yeah, pretty much. Nice guy. Spoke to him for a minute, but that was about it.
He's got a good heart, is what's
saying. Yeah, somebody loves that man. That's all. Or bless his heart, as they say.
Bless his heart. That's very church. That's what yes, you know about that church thing. It's like when a black church woman cusses you out, she says, "Bless your heart."
Oh, that's just a Southern thing. That's across
that's
the board. My mom would say that too. If you can't say something nice, like, oh well, bless their heart. They can't help it.
Bless their heart. Like when you see somebody with an ugly baby, you say, "Oh well, it's a baby. It's a baby."
Yeah. Yeah,
the baby. It's got five fingers, five toes, and my. You might want to put an extra layer of coating on that bassinet. You don't want nobody to look at that baby. That's an ugly baby. Well, God bless you. Well, God bless Mason Reese, because love. What a culture club said, love is love.
There is somebody for everybody.
There is somebody for everybody. Yes.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of burnt offerings.
Speaking of burnt offerings. We don't have to talk about that movie. We're just having a good time.
Yes, we are. But hey, but speaking of burnt offerings.
What about Dan Curtis that directs of that damn movie?
Oh, yeah.
I love myself some Dan Curtis.
Yeah, Dark Shadows. And he wrote the screenplay. Yeah, he wrote the screenplay along with William F. Nolan, who also wrote Logan's Run. Screenplay.
That's what I was trying to remember. I was trying to remember that because for some reason I always think of him and Richard Matheson are always tag teaming. But it was him and Richard Matheson for what's it? Did Richard Matheson write the screenplay for the Cold Shack stuff?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think so. I want to say that the first two movies, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love Dan Curtis. He's one of those people I wish I could have met. Let me tell you something. My favorite movie of his, besides from just watching the Dark Shadows movie. It was obviously the TV show, but from but from watching the Dark Shadows movie and the Collinwood movie, the horror film, the other one where it's a ghost story with David Selby, I love both of those movies.
Oh, yeah.
Love myself and Jack Palance as Dracula.
Oh, you know, I have that on VHS, and I haven't watched it. I've had it for years, and I haven't been able to watch
it yet. Only on VHS, you can get that as a double disc with Jack Palance playing Dr. Jekyll.
Oh, yeah. So I need to check that out, because I like Jack Palance, too.
Oh, yeah, Jack Palance was actually a very good actor. I remember when I first saw that Dracula on television as well. And I was like, that man is giving Christopher Lee a run for his money. He's showing up here.
Well, I will have to check that out now.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And because I'm talking to you about the Dark Shadows, the House of Dark Shadows?
Yeah.
Is the House of Dark Shadows and Curse of Dark Shadows?
No, Night of Dark Shadows and House of Dark Shadows.
Night of Dark Shadows, I love. That's campy, very campy, bloody.
Yeah.
I love it. But House of Dark Shadows, the second one, what does it say? We'll just say the second because I'm going to mess up the title.
I think House is the ghost story one.
I love it. I know that Penny Dreadful. I love myself a Penny Dreadful. Penny Dreadful did not like the ghost story one.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I love that. I love it. I know she hated the guts out of the Tim Burton movie.
I hadn't even watched that yet. I just can't. Can't bring myself to do it.
You haven't watched Tim Burton? Let me tell you something. Johnny Depp is king of everything. Johnny Depp is the king of everything. I love myself and Johnny Depp. He does a wonderful, he channels Barnabas Collins. You've not watched that damn thing yet?
I couldn't bring myself to do it. I might have to because I heard Alice Cooper's in it, so I might have to watch.
Alice Cooper is in it. Looks wonderful. Helena Bonham Carter does a good channeling of Miss Redheaded Thing Doctor because it's fun. It's a fun.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. But let me tell you, Johnny Depp is the king of everything. He's the king of everything. I can't wait to see him play Grindelwald, one of his names, in that new Harry Potter-related movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love myself some Johnny Depp. He's a man.
Did you see him in the new The Murder on Orient Express?
Are you kidding me? Love him.
Sorry.
Love him. Love that movie. Let me tell you something. That kid is brought off. That's how I say his name. I like to make it sound like he's
get a brother. It's like you can't stop saying his name.
You can't stop saying his name. You got to say brother.
Yeah, it's like trying to say Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
It doesn't. There's no end to that word.
There's no end to that word. Worcestershire people. Let me tell you something. Don't ever say Worcestershire. Can't do it. I can say the word onomatopoeia, but I can't say Worcestershire or Kenneth Branagh. But what did I say? I forgave Kenneth Branagh for cheating on Emma Thompson because of Murder on Orient Express.
Oh.
I sure did. Every time I see Emma Thompson cry, I just want to kick him in the head. But let me tell you, Murder on Orient Express, he does a wonderful job. And playing that Hercule Poirot.
Yeah, we've been wanting to see that, but we just hadn't got out yet to see it.
You haven't watched it yet?
Not yet.
I'm going to smack you with the phone.
The last thing that we've been out to see, we saw Black Panther. We finally got to see that.
You better have that thing made $20 billion. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, all that money that's gone into the Black Panther, you can feed all those starving people in Africa with it. I swear to God.
I saw on Google that hotel searches for Wakanda are up 600%.
Oh, my God. That's a riot. I was like, oh, what is that? Go to orbit.com, get a plane ticket.
Yeah.
I heard somebody named their child
T'Challa.
T'Challa something. And then somebody said, of all the sisters in that movie with beautiful names, you had to go and name that child T'Challa.
T'Challa Green.
T'Challa, Sabrina T'Challa Green Washington III. That's why. That's right. Oh, my God. Now, I tell you, when they finally make a sequel to Black Panther, it's like every other black person on the planet wants to be in that movie now. I'm sure Halle Berry. Let me tell you something. I was pissed off that the number one 100% African person they did not have in that movie, Jaimin Hunsoon. Why the hell is Jaimin Hunsoon in that movie?
That's Hollywood.
I'm like, he's actually African, and he's not in the movie.
Look, all I got to say about that is the Wakanda technology is so good that they managed to fix Forrest Whitaker's eye. That's all I'm saying.
I sat there and I looked at his eye. I was like, you know what? Why did they never ever make a Sammy Davis Jr. movie star him? Who cares about Don Cheadle? Who cares about Don Cheadle? That's right. You know what? We have not talked about burnt offerings at all.
Hey, speaking of burnt offerings, though, you brought up friend of ours, Penny Dreadful.
Yes, love myself a Penny Dreadful. Pennyworth.
Now, watching Burnt Offerings, I'm sitting there watching Karen Black, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to think, God, she just, you know, who she remind me of?
She can do it.
Doesn't she?
Oh my God!
Just something about her look. When she looks a certain way, you're like, "Yeah, she reminds me of Penny."
If I had my way, if I could be a producer of film, I would have Penny Dreadful reprise the role of Karen Black in some kind of comedy version of if not Burt Offerings, some comedy version of Trilogy of Terror, something.
That would be awesome.
Because you're absolutely right. Because I had not thought about that. Penny Dreadful looks just like Karen Black.
She can pull it off.
Yes, she does.
As we were saying before, the slow burn of the movie, I can see how it's not as popular with a lot of people as a lot of other haunted house films. Yeah, because like, it does take a while for the stuff to kind of creep in, you know?
Right. I don't even, it's like, why do you suspect that people get so burnt?
Go ahead, you're allowed.
Why do you think that people get so burnt out of shape about the slow build? Because that's the whole point. You're not supposed to really understand what's going on. I mean, that back then, horror films or a film like that one, you know, a gradual descent into hell is a perfect way to, when you finally get to the punch, it's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
But why do you feel like people prefer to just get right all down to the business of stabbing and killing?
Oh, it's the microwave culture we've developed over the years, where people want that instant gratification, you know, short attention span. I think it kind of started with what they say, the video generation, where people were, you know, getting interested in 3-minute increments of stuff, and then, you know, the next video comes on.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm just happy to say I was never like that. As you know, I wrote a book, of course. No bad movies, only bad audiences. And I was always, whatever is put in front of me, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
And if I'm there to see a slap 'em up, you know, stick 'em up kind of movie where things are going to blow up immediately, then I will expect that. But if it's a tentative study of horror and getting you into the mood of being terrified, I'm going to go with it. You know, like the first Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Was a nice gradual build into, oh my God, this guy just got stabbed in the eye. He just went outside the window. He should be dead, but the body is gone.
Yeah. And the suspense in that thing is just fantastic.
The suspense in that thing is fantastic. Another good John Carpenter movie, speaking of the burnt offering, for when the thing builds and builds and builds until you just can't take Crawford, I tell you, you know, when you sit there and you see Betty Davis start to get all disheveled, because as Karen Black starts to
well, hers is real, real subtle. Karen Black's is real subtle,
you know, because she's because when you first see her, her hair is down all around her shoulders and stuff. The next thing you know, her hair starts to, she starts to get wear 90s that are not very sexy, sort of like granny bloomers.
Yeah,
and her hair starts to
wearing a shawl.
A little shawl. Her hair starts to go up a little bit more. She's not interested in sex. She's more prim and proper.
Yeah.
Whereas poor Betty Davis, she starts to get a little more disheveled.
Yeah, and she starts out as she's old, in her 70s, but she's still real active. And she starts to get less active and starts to get more like an old lady, you know, kind of all of a sudden, and then it gets worse and worse.
It's like the house, along with changing itself and getting Karen Black all possessed, it's like the house says, I'm not going to have this rival here. I'm going to suck all the available life out of her as much as possible.
Yeah, feeds off the life force of the people in the house.
Right.
And while we're talking about the acting in Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed, you know,
he's amazing in anything.
He's amazing. I just finished watching him in Tommy.
Oh yeah.
And that was just a totally bizarre.
Very strange.
Yeah, I had never seen it before, and I finally got it at a yard sale for a dollar.
Awesome.
Good condition.
Yeah.
Because my favorite other movie that I got from Goodwill for about $2 was Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
So I figured it was going to have that kind of feel. but anyway, because I love Pink Floyd, The Wall. I've never seen that again. But let me say, Oliver Reed is wonderful, absolutely wonderful in that movie, especially when he is sitting there all paralyzed and he's trying to save his son, and he does it great.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, let's see. The boy gets out of the pool. How? Mama jumps in?
Yeah, Karen Black somehow, overnight, she's kind of snaps back. See, that was the one thing that was kind of weird. When Oliver Reed's trying to get away with the kid, and they run into the tree, and then she comes out still in the old lady kind of gear and drives him back to the house, and she's glaring at him with that look.
Yes.
Then the next morning, after the doctors come, Oliver Reed is sitting by the pool. She's dressed like she was before with her hair down. And kind of acting normal. And the kid's in the pool, and she can't get out of the house, and she throws something, breaks a window, and goes out, and she dives in the pool and gets him.
Yeah. The movie does try its best to give you enough red herrings to let you know that, yes, there's something going on, but we're not going to figure out that it's going on with Karen Black. Especially when, you know, she's taking trays of food upstairs, and when you finally see her actually eating the food because she doesn't think the lady's eating the food. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, hey.
I think that movie, and what was it? Did you ever see the movie Death and Love House?
No, uh-uh.
Death and Love House stars Robert Wagner.
Oh, okay.
It was a TV movie where the woman, the starlet, she supposedly had died in a fire.
Huh.
And she ends up showing up, you know, some kind of devil worship or satanic stuff.
Yeah.
My point is, that movie had that same eerie feel as Burnt Offering, where you're like, man, I've never seen anything like it. It's creeping me out. I probably should be turning away.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Look for that movie. Look for Death and Love House. You can get it for like $1.
Well, that sounds like my kind of movie. $1.
Oh, yeah. One whole dollar. What else are we going to be talking about for Burnt Offering? Because there's just so many cool things.
Still on Oliver Reed, you know, I'm used to seeing him in more like larger than life kind of roles, like in The Three Musketeers and Cross Swords and stuff like that. And especially the first time I saw this, those were one of the things I knew him from because as a kid, and then seeing him in this, of course, late night horror show, probably on Dr. Mad Blood one night, playing just to every man, just regular old dad kind of guy. And I was like, wait a minute. But he pulls it off. You know, you get the relationship between him and his kid, and he just seems like the dad guy, you know?
And
That kid was a good kid actor. He was a kid actor that was around a lot in the 70s. What was his name again?
Oh, God, I can't remember his name. But, yeah, I've seen his face on a lot of TV shows and stuff back then.
Yeah, he was around a lot. He was like the other Lance Kerwin.
The poor man's Lance Kerwin.
Right. Because, speaking of Lance Kerwin, Lord, I saw for the first time in 5 billion years Salem's Lot.
Ooh, yeah. We just did a episode on that a couple months ago. And the first time I had watched it was when we did the podcast here on it.
Yes.
And, man, that was very good.
Oh, my God. That movie is so damn scary, scary. Still a scary, scary, scary movie. But back to Burt Austin.
Yeah.
I love myself and Betty Davis in that damn movie.
She was very good and kind of low-key, you know?
Yes, she was.
Which was really good. But no, what I was going to say, you bring up Salem's Lot and it being a TV movie and being scary as hell. Burnt Offerings was a theatrical movie, but it feels like a TV movie.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just the pacing and everything, I think. It feels like a TV movie.
You know, Betty Davis did the Dark Secret of Harvest Home.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, but I've heard about it forever, but I haven't had a chance to see it.
Lord, I finally got around it. Because my mama sarcophagi, back to Burt Austin, mama sarcophagi wanted little young sarcophagi to watch The Dark Secret of Harvest Home on television for her, because she was on a phone call. She wanted to take the phone call and wanted me to watch the movie, and I fell asleep. So a little young Dark sarcophagi fell asleep and did not get to see how the movie ended. And Mama sarcophagi was very, very, very cross with young sarcophagi. But so when I finally got around to watching it, you got to see that Betty Davis is, again, awesome as hell. It's like watching Wicker Man starring Betty Davis.
Oh.
Wonderful movie.
Huh.
Wonderful movie.
It's okay, wait, now you got me.
Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Yes. You got to watch that movie.
Because I love me some Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah, that first Wicker Man. Now, I remember watching bless his heart, poor Nicolas Cage. You know, when you see poor Woodward, was it John Woodward?
Edward Woodward.
Edward, when he gets killed, you actually feel bad. You feel bad for him.
Yeah, yeah.
When Nicolas Cage gets killed, it's like, good. Burn already.
Bring the marshmallows.
Bring the marshmallows. I got the hot dogs ready. And I say, let him die. Let him die. Which brings us back to burnt offering, because that was a good burnt offering.
Yeah. Well, you know, and speaking of the deaths in that you know, they happen. Betty Davis's happens the last third of the movie, but the last three with Oliver Reed, the kid, and all that are boom, real quick, right after the other, and Oliver Reed's death is pretty shocking, pretty gruesome.
I'm trying to remember how he dies right now, because all I remember is that poor kid.
Yeah,
that poor kid with the chimney.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happens with Oliver Reed is Karen Black, they're getting ready to leave. They're in the car.
That's right. I forgot. He goes back into the house.
And she says, let me go say goodbye and tell the old lady we're leaving. And Oliver Reed's like, no, don't do it. She says, I'll be right back. And she goes up there, and she's gone for a while. And then Oliver Reed's like, I got to go get her so we can leave. So he goes in.
Next thing you know, out the window.
Yeah. And Oliver Reed gets, out the window, and he lands face first through the windshield of the car. And his blood goes all over the kid. It's gruesome as hell.
Right. But here's the thing. I felt so bad for the kid.
Yeah.
Because he has that whole chimney crushed to death. Yes, Oliver Reed is asking for it because he went back in the house.
Yeah.
He should have just left her ass right there.
Yeah.
You know, because the house had what it wanted.
Yeah.
It wanted her.
Yeah.
He should have just left her.
Yeah, he should have said, too bad we can't stay, baby. Gotta go.
I got my tickets. Goodbye.
Yeah.
We'll call you from Brooklyn. We'll call you from Chicago.
But it's, and then the end where, you see it coming, all the pictures on the thing, but it's still creepy when they it finally gets to the pictures of the kid and Oliver Reed and Betty Davis.
Right, right.
And Karen Black's picture isn't there, you know.
Right. It is just as creepy as when you see Jack Nicholson's picture at the hotel.
Yeah,
Shining, where it's like, oh my God, was he always part of that house, or is he just recently a part of that whole mythos, that whole legend of that hotel? It was really well done. Burt Offers is really well done. I have almost nearly a profound knowledge of that movie. Not because, I mean, you wouldn't know it from now, because I felt so bad for that kid. Oliver Reed was asking for it when he went back in the house.
Yeah,
but that poor kid.
Well, he's been through the ringer.
Yes, because he almost drowned to death. That whole season at the pool
twice.
Awesome.
He almost drowned it. One, his Oliver Reed, when he goes nuts and they're horse playing, and he goes nuts and almost drowns his kid. And then later on, he goes swimming and the pool almost drowns him.
That was good. That was a good special.
Oh, yeah. Special. Yeah. And then when he falls asleep in the room with the gas on.
Yeah, that house wanted him dead.
Yeah. So the kid, he just had no chance.
That house had a personal vendetta against that child. I have never seen a house hate a kid so much than in Burt Offers.
I think that should have been the tagline to the movie. You have never seen a house hate a kid so much. See Burt Offerings.
But I tell you, I wish there was just a little bit more Burgess Meredith. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love the brother and sister. I love the sister of the two.
She
was awesome.
Oh, what's her name? It's like Eileen something, I think.
Yes, Eileen. I had my notes, but I just totally discarded my notes. I don't know what the hell those things were. I was going to watch it again before I talked with you, but I have seen it all, I don't know how many times. love myself some Burt Offers. And speaking of Burt Offers, if you ever decide to sacrifice your copy of Can't Stop the Music to Dr. Saul Coffee Guy, you could do that.
We will wrap this up. I think we've covered it, or at least as much as we're gonna cover it when we get to talking about it and stuff.
You know how I love talking to you. We just getting
we have a ball.
Yes, we do, sir.
And we may talk about the original topic at some point, but it's always fun.
I think we covered it all.
I think we did in there somewhere. Yeah.
I think we covered it all. I mean, if you were to edit it down, you would get a good 30 minutes of us talking about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said, you know, hey, Oliver Reed, Betty Davis, Karen Black, Burgess Meredith. Good night, everybody.
I don't think I ever. Did I ever see Oliver Reed in his werewolf movie, London at the Midnight?
No, Curse of the Werewolf.
Curse of the Werewolf. Thank you.
Ooh. You haven't seen that?
I've never seen it. You know, the other movie, the last thing I saw him in before he did A Gladiator.
Yeah.
Was a movie called Funny Bones.
Oh.
Yeah, look for that movie, Funny Bones. Look for Funny Bones.
Okay.
Now, let's talk Comic Con Go.
Okay. It's been a blast, as always, talking to you, and I'm glad we finally got you on the podcast. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Say hello to your charming producer.
I certainly will.
All right.
And sounds good, and thanks for being here.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. My genuine pleasure. Love you desperately.
Ah. Oh, it's always good to be loved. Good night, everybody.
Good night.